Well, good morning. So glad to be here in the house of the Lord with each of you. It's just been a beautiful week. God is doing great things here in the house and also in each of our lives, our personal lives. I see miracles happening all around, and my heart is overjoyed with God's goodness. What a faithful God He is. So, yes, we've all come here today just to learn more about him. We're going to be studying about growing in biblical understanding in these sessions, and all sessions are being recorded. And so you may have chosen this one, but decided, hey, I'd like to hear some of maybe the Christ-like session. Those are going to be online. You can look at those on Realm. They'll be linked there. And so you'll be able to listen and kind of take part in those classes too, if that's something you wanted to do. But thank you for joining this session. And we're here because we want to learn more about our God. And I know a lot of times for myself, and you probably feel the same way, that we find ourselves kind of rushing through our week, just running from point A to point B, fulfilling the obligations of life and taking care of families, going to work, running to the grocery store, all of these things we have to do, making sure we're present at all events, trying to be a good friend, and trying to do our part. And again, it's needed. Those things are part of our lives, and we want to be involved, and we want to make sure others know that we care, and we want to be there for our families. But sometimes at the end of the day, we just find we didn't have time. We didn't make time. We probably had time. A lot of times just didn't carve out time to spend with the Lord in devotion. And maybe because we're just tired out, we're worn out, and we think, you know what, tomorrow's a fresh day. I'm going to start new tomorrow. And sometimes it kind of becomes a rut, and we find we're kind of stuck in this cylinder, and we just keep waking up and repeat. And the Word of God often sits all throughout our house. We have several copies of the Bible, and we find that it collects dust. And we'll pick it up, run out the door to go to church. We come home and we'll set it back down, and we love the Lord. I mean, that's why we're coming to church. We love him with all of our heart. We want to know of him and learn of him. And yet, the busyness. Come home and we set the Bible down, and we have good intentions to get to it. His word is filled with treasures, blessings, promises, and we find that we're not partaking. We're not picking this precious word up to learn of the Lord and to hear what he would speak to us for the day. And so being in this place, we realize that, you know, wanting to know him more, wanting to spend time with him, we've got to figure out how to fit that into our schedule. Where is it that we can take a start? Maybe with a baby step. Maybe it's early in the morning for you. A lot of times I'll even keep my Bible opened at the door. And so that, you know, if I've had time to talk with the Lord and I feel like I've just not really had time to get into the Word, I want the Word sometime in that morning, even though I know I'm going to intentionally, if I haven't had the time in the morning to read, I want to get to it sometime later in the day. But I want the Word to be going through my mind. I'll grab a verse as I go out the door very often as my Bible lays there open. And I'm going to take that word with me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper as I'm going into my day. And so there are little ways that we can begin to make sure we're carving out that time so that we can spend time in God's word and have that devotion and that consecration with him. It is a conscious effort. It has to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. And there will always be things in our lives that are just going to busy God right out of our day if we allow it. And so remembering why we're here, I think that's so important. We're here to serve our God, the one who put breath in our lungs, the one who actually gives us our life and our strength. He is the source of everything in our lives, our strength, our rest, our peace, everything that we need, every answer to every question that we have comes from the Lord. And so stealing away, being alone with him, and growing in the knowledge of who he is so important. I know each of you, as myself, we want to become the vessels he created us to be, to walk into the destiny that he has planned for our life so that we can be of service to his kingdom and to his people. to grow in relationship with Him. And so today we're going to delve just a little bit into the Word of God, just to learn more of Him, to study together. And the first thing that I want to mention, and we all know this, but sometimes these reminders are so good, is that the Word of God is alive. His Word is the living Word, and it is forever settled in heaven. And so knowing that His Word is powerful, it brings my mind, as I was thinking about His Word being alive, it brings me to thinking of the times in Scripture where Jesus spoke to the storm. He commanded, "Peace, be still," and even the winds and the sea obeyed. All elements, all creation obeys the voice of God and calmed. And then I began to think about the man with leprosy coming to Jesus, and such a visual sickness. Everyone around saw how desperate this man was for a touch. And he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Mm-hmm. And I love that Jesus, with compassion, reaches out his hand to him and he says, "I will." And when he touches him, the scripture in Mark 1, verses 40 through 45 says, "As soon as Jesus had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Every molecule, every fiber, every cell, every tissue in his body had to immediately align with the Word of God." When you think about that, His Word, it's powerful. It had to follow the sound of His voice. And so we know Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sometimes I feel like we just put limitations on God and put Him in a box. How many of you feel like we do that? Just put God into a box and we think, "Well, I know He can heal a headache, but surely it would be harder to heal cancer after all. I mean, He's just God." And sometimes we forget this God is the God, the one true God. He's great and powerful. Everything was spoken into existence by Him, and He has no limitations. The El Shaddai, I was looking up El Shaddai the other day. If you've never used the Blue Letter Bible online, it's beautiful. There's a Strong's Concordance if you want to delve into certain verses and words in the scripture that kind of stand out to you and learn more about those different verses or words. It was saying that El Shaddai is meaning that He is God Almighty, and that, you know, our God, when you look at Him, He has no limitations. There is nothing standing in His way. Everything bows to the command of His voice. Every principality, every power, it has to obey. And so today we're going to take some time just to get into the Word and to let it open up to us, to hear a lot of the things we already know, but maybe just to be reminded of the power of our God. So let's pray together and just ask the Lord to minister to us with His Word. Lord, we thank You so much for letting us know You. God, we long to know You more in a deeper way, to draw closer to You, to become that which You created us to be. Lord, to walk in the ways of the Lord, to learn Your Word, to spend time seeking after You, that we may grow in the knowledge of who You are, that we may share this beautiful truth with those around us. Lord, that we could walk in great faith, that we would be, Lord, that which You want us to be. Lord, it's our desire to be like You, God, to become more, Lord, for Your kingdom, to lay aside all of these things in life that bring distraction and that take us away from You, and God, to put You first, back into Your place in our lives. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us to receive Your Word with gladness this day. I ask these things in the name of Jesus, and I give You praise. Amen. So today, our topic we're going to be talking on is why the Bible can feel confusing and how to approach it with confidence. So I would ask right up front, how many of you have ever read a verse or a portion of scripture where after you were finished, you thought on it and you thought, you know, I don't fully understand that. Just a little confused. Anybody felt that way after you've read scripture? I know I have. And so these feelings of confusion sometimes can bring to us questions that we want answered. And when we look at the definition of confusion, it just describes a feeling of uncertainty or a lack of understanding, where we're not certain of a meaning, maybe an intended meaning that the scripture has. And so this could be due to, I know in my life, hearing different individuals with varied interpretations. Seems like everybody has a different opinion on certain things in regular life. And when it comes to scripture, oftentimes that can stand true. You'll hear varied opinions or interpretations on what a particular scripture means. And sometimes just being confused can be because of the context. It can be because of the culture of that day and the Jewish tradition, maybe that we're not familiar with. And then sometimes it could be due to the fact that the King James Version language is quite different from how we speak today. And so there are varied reasons why sometimes we can be left feeling, we just have uncertainty or questions, maybe a lack of understanding there. And so I'll tell you a story of once when that happened in my life. It was many years back, and there was a scripture I had read, and I'd heard so many different people speak differently on this scripture. And so I went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, God, I want you to show me, would you reveal to me what the intended meaning of this scripture is? Would you open my eyes that I would understand it as it was written, as it was meant to be understood? And I wanted to know, is this a heaven or hell issue? Is this something that is considered sin or not? And so I was praying earnestly before I went to bed one night, and I truly was crying out to God. I was tears rolling down my face, crying out to God. I wanted to understand. And it was so beautiful. The next morning, I woke up, and this is one of the first times that I can remember when God gave me a direct answer. I knew it was from heaven. There was no doubt in my mind. I woke up the next morning, and I had Hebrews 12 and 1 and part of verse 2 just going through my mind so forcefully. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that just kept repeating through my mind. And as I thought on it, I thought, this is my answer from God, that some things, although maybe not a sin, maybe it's a weight. And in this particular instance, the Lord was saying, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who were these witnesses? If you read Hebrews 11, the chapter before, that's the faith chapter, looking at all of these great warriors of faith, saints of God, who had laid down their lives, many of them, for the cause of Christ. And so seeing that cloud of witnesses that they gave all, and then into our day, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so it was beautiful to me. I sought the Lord, and he heard. We sing that song. And so I have found over and over again in my life, when we go to the Lord with a question, he's listening. He hears every prayer we pray. Not one is ever wasted. That is the beautiful thing about our God. In his greatness, the Lord of all creation, all heaven and earth, and yet he sees little old me. I'm insignificant. I'm a nobody. And yet he knows my thoughts. He hears my prayers. He sees my life. Psalm 139, he sees my uprising, my downsetting. He knows everything about me and you. And so it's beautiful that, yes, if we seek him and look to him, he will answer. He will send an answer. And it's through his word. If we'll spend our time reading his word, being in the house of God, listening to the word, he speaks to us. And so today we're going to look at some ways, different ways to approach God's word with confidence. And so to start, it's so important that we have a spirit of humility when we go to the word of God. A lot of us, we've been raised different ways, different perspectives. We've heard so many different things, and sometimes we form ideas. And so when we read a word, maybe we're looking at it just from that context and from our perspective. But we need to go to the Word of God with humility and ask the Lord to give us understanding and an open heart and mind that we would receive of Him the true intended meaning of His word. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Learn of me." He wants us to learn of Him, to learn His ways. And He's given us an entire Bible to learn about His, it's like a roadmap for us, a roadmap to heaven for us to learn how He wants us to live, how He wants us to behave, what He would like for us to do. And so humility is so important. Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells us that the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. And it is so important, like I said, that we align our lives with Jesus Christ. And secondly, another approach could be to pray for understanding, as we've mentioned. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:9-10 writes that he prays for the saints at Colossae to be filled with spiritual understanding. And he says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So ask the Lord to open your eyes and your heart and seek Him for guidance. John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. And as we know, the Holy Ghost, it leads and guides us into all truth. There's sometimes then when people come into the church and they haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, they have questions and you can try to explain things. But it's amazing how the light bulb comes on when you've received the Holy Ghost. The Word of God opens up to you. And so I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost does lead and guide us into all truth. This helps us when we're studying Scripture. Things we didn't understand before now open up to us. And the more exposure that we have in the Word of God, time spent with Him, the revelation comes bit by bit. And so when you're reading Scripture, there may be times when you don't understand. Continue to read. God will open things up. It may not be a full understanding the first time you've read it, but when you come back and read it again, it begins to open up to us. John 5:39 says, search the Scriptures. And so that's kind of where we're starting today. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I know that that's each of our desires, is to search for God with everything inside of us. And although I mentioned, like we know in normal life, we get so busy and sidetracked, but it is deep down our desire to know Him in a deeper and more meaningful way. And so this leads us to our next approach to looking at the Word of God with confidence. And that is just forming personal devotion and relationship building with God. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And 2 Chronicles 7:14, many of us know this scripture. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so relationship is important. It's very important. And surrendering our lives to God's will and walking in obedience and submission to His word, it gives us confidence that He hears us. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And so when we go to the word, that's what we're asking God, is to help us to learn of Him so that we can keep these commandments, so that we can follow after Him and be what He created and designed us to be. I love that there's another scripture in 1 John. It's chapter 5. I believe it's verse 14. And it says, if we ask anything, this is our confidence in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He heareth us. And if we know He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And so this again is just kind of leading us to a walk of faith. Everything in this life, it's a walk of faith when we're trying to walk as Christians, seeking after God. Many obstacles present themselves. And so we find, as the scripture says, walk by faith, not by sight. We've got to remember the word of the Lord that tells us, if you're asking according to his will, he's hearing. Make no mistake of it. And when he hears us, we have that confidence to know that we do have those petitions we desire of him. If we ask and serve him and seek after him. And so this leads us to our next approach to God's word so that we can do this in confidence. And that is embracing the Bible as the authority in your life. And as I've mentioned, the word of God, it's truth. It is powerful. And if we let this become the authority, then it will trump all other preconceived ideas, the opinions of others, every voice of negativity and doubt. And sometimes those voices of negativity and doubt are from things that have happened in our own lives. Maybe we had prayed a prayer and we didn't see it happen when we wanted to. We know God always hears, and we know he answers in his time. Sometimes we get a little frustrated up front because it didn't happen according to my timeline and the way that I had it all figured out. And so that negativity can begin. The devil likes to use that to try to stir us up, to pull us away from truly grasping hold that the word of God, this Bible, is the authority. And everything that God spoke, it is forever settled. It is true, and we can stand upon it. So we have to move doubt out of the way. Remember, his word is truth. Numbers 23:19 says it like this. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I love that. Isaiah 40, verse 8, says, the word of our God shall stand forever. So embracing the word helps us to take the limits off God, to accept his word as truth, and to realize that the enemy of our souls wants nothing more than to bring confusion and doubt to our minds, to bring ultimate destruction. The enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's a constant fight. We are children of God, walking in the light, trying to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he wants nothing more than to destroy us. And how does he often do it? Many times it's not going to be with the big sins. It's usually going to be stirring up our minds with some thought of negativity to discourage us, to bring us down. It's typically how he does it. It is a psychological warfare. And so we know, we've learned from reading the word, that this precious word, it edifies us. It sustains us. It brings strength to our spirits. And that's why it's so important that we make the time to spend with him, to let this feed our souls. So important. The word of God is a sword. The sword that exposes the lies of hell and tears down every stronghold. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand. And verse 16 says, above all, take the shield of faith and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And so our faith, it's that shield that's going to block off those darts of hell that are coming at us, trying to put negative thoughts in our minds, to bring discouragement, to tear us down, to pull us away from a walk of victory in our Lord. And God's word, as we go to it, increases our faith. The Bible is full of real life examples of our God's might and power. I was just reading yesterday. I love it. I love it. It was from Isaiah. Now, which chapter right off the top of my head? It was in the 30s, but it was so beautiful because I've read it before. We all know this, but the Assyrians were coming against the people of God. And Hezekiah, the king, he goes to the Lord and he's saying, Lord, you've heard this wicked king, what he plans to do. And the Assyrians, they've wiped out the nations. Unless you come through, I think is what his heart was truly pleading. Oh God, unless you come through for us. And I love how the Lord, he steps in as he always does, even in our lives. And it says that the angel of the Lord smote 185,000 of those Assyrian warriors that were there to try to defeat the people of God. And so it's amazing when we take time looking at these real life examples. These are situations that were impossible. Their army couldn't combat. Their army couldn't stand against such a great army of the Assyrians. But when God is in the calculation, there's nothing that can stand against the people of God. Math, I love Brother Griever preached on this some years ago, how that the math doesn't add up. When God's in it, you don't have to worry about those numbers because He is greater than any force, any power. He is God, and we can stand assured and rest in His word. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." When God speaks, His word comes to pass. So this should give us confidence and a faith that does not waver. And I love this scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It's beautiful. We need to hold this to heart. It says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen." We need to speak those promises of God over our lives out loud. I've learned in my life, and I don't know if many of you have done this. Maybe you can give a show of hands after I've mentioned. But in my life, I have found that speaking the promises of God aloud, it's putting those words into the atmosphere. It's stepping out in faith, not just saying, "Lord, I believe it, but now I'm declaring it. I'm decreeing it. It shall come to pass." I did this one day on a lunch break. Every month I was struggling after COVID. I was in a job that was paying about $10,000 less a year. Every month I'm struggling to make my car payment, wondering, "Oh Lord, how are we going to get through this season?" And I'm praying month after month, "Lord, would you supply? Would you make a way? Would you provide for the need?" And every time the Lord came through, my car payment continued to be made. It was a random bonus. It was, you know, taxes that ended up being good. It was, I see a hand waving in the back. Sounds like somebody else has been there. And so one particular day I'm on my lunch break and I thought, why am I asking for the small things? Why month after month am I going to God with this 1 month need? I need this car paid off. And if He's able to pay it every month, He's surely able to pay it off for me. And so I prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I decree my car is paid off. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know where the money's coming from. But in the name of Jesus, it's done. My car is paid off. I'm putting these words into the atmosphere, and I believe it shall come to pass. And I thank the Lord for it. You know, it was weeks. I was on my lunch break in the car. I told nobody about that prayer. And a text comes through to me. One of my family members who banks where I bank says, "Hey, was at the bank today. Just wanted to let you know we wanted to pay your car off, so you'll be getting the title in the mail." Talk about crocodile tears spitting out of my eyeballs, because the Lord, He hears and He answered. And so let us remember that when we speak out the promises of God, He says it. He's going to supply every need. If we'll stand on the word and decree it, it will come to pass. All things are possible. That's what His word tells us. So we're going to step into the realm of the miraculous. I have another story I'll share with you very quickly. Let me look to see what time it is. I got to make it fast. There was a time I had been at work, was getting paid. I looked at the money I was going to need for the bills, no money left for food. And I thought, "Dear God, what am I going to do? There's going to be nothing left for the next 2 weeks for food." And so again, I'm on my way home thinking, "Lord, I'm paying my tithes." Malachi 3:10, it tells us to prove Him and see if He won't open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing there's not room enough to receive. And so as I'm coming home, I always drive by this huge cross, exit 5, coming home from Bristol. And usually on most days, I'm just thanking the Lord for His gift to us. This particular day, I cried out and said, "Oh God, please help me. 2 weeks, no food. What are we going to do? No way of extra resources, no money. I'm going to do this on my own. It's an impossible thing. It's one of those times when you're pressed up against the wall and you realize it's God coming through or else. I know many of us have been in that place. We've got to trust him because there's no other resource. And it was beautiful because I turned the radio on in discouragement, thinking, just listen to the word of the radio. This Christian music, it's going to lift me up. But no, this day, it was not Christian music as it usually was coming home. It was a preacher saying, have faith in God. He was shouting it out. Have faith in God. 3 different times. And so I look up to the sky thinking, okay, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? And he said, either you believe what the word of God says or you don't. And his word says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And so I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. And that's the place we have to get to. Lord, I trust you when everything is standing against us, all odds are present, and there's no way out. Oh, Lord, I trust you. I went home. I walked through the door. Guess what came in the mail? It was a beautiful pink envelope sitting on my table. My son had checked the mail, and I thought, who sent me a letter? So I go and open it up. It's a card. Guess what's inside? A $100 gift card to Food City. No name. I still don't know to this day who sent the card. The Lord laid it on somebody's heart to send to me. They just said, love you. Something like, God bless you. And it was all of these beautiful words about what I meant to them. Well, praise the Lord. He came through once again with the money that was needed. And he does that in our lives time and time again. And so I know we're running low here on time, but God comes through every time if we'll reach to him in faith, with a right now faith, an expectant faith, and that we would become confident and settled in what his word says is so important. And let us stand upon it, because our faith, it's the key that unlocks a storehouse of blessings and the promises of God in our lives. And pursuit is the proof of our faith in God's word. So what we need to do, each of us, is to find a promise in the word of God that applies to the situation that looks like an obstacle too great, what we consider a mountain that cannot be overcome on our own. And for each of us, I want you right now, I want you to think of one of those situations in your life that looks like an impossible situation. Whether it's health, finances, it could be a family situation, a lost loved one, whatever that may be. I want you to get that in your mind. And I want you to remember Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah, the Lord asks us, he tells us, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And we would answer no. When we think of this, we would immediately answer no. But sometimes when it comes to our own lives, you know, we have faith for everyone else, but we kind of get stumped up thinking, yeah, but could he do it for me? And so how many of you in this place today have a situation in your life that seems impossible, that unless the Lord comes through, there's really no way that you can get over it, whether it's your health, your finances, maybe just someone in your family that seems so down and out, maybe in a place of desperation and they need help. I want you to get that in your mind. Or if you have a friend that has a need like that, get them in your mind. And I want you to begin to just roll over in your mind the promises of God that apply to that need. If they're sick, it could be that with his stripes we are healed, that he is the God that healeth us. It's Psalm 103 that mentions that we need to bless the Lord, O our soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. It could be maybe that you're thinking your sin is too great from your past and God just can't wipe it out. How could he do such a thing? How could he wipe out such great sin? I was in that place for some time. I felt the sin of my past was so great that I could never move past it. And so whatever that is in your life that you feel is an obstacle that's standing in your way, I ask that you apply this word to your life. And if you would, I think it's a little application here for us that would be good. If you'll pair up with someone And so let's just have groups of two. And if you would ask that person that's in your group, I want one person to be the first person who asks the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And then once you get together, I'm going to have, after the question is asked, I'm going to give the second person the answer to that. I'm going to go to a scripture. If you will, go ahead and pair up with someone. You can introduce yourselves if you don't know each other. And so I want you to decide who's going to ask the question first. You just go ahead and choose in your group of two who's going to ask that question. And I want you to look at the person who has that mountain in their mind that seems like an impossible task. And it's just something too great that you know on your own cannot be resolved. And so I want you to ask that person, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I want you to ask them again, and I want it to be a little bit more forceful. I want you to really make them think about it. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And now I want that person that has that mountain in their mind to come back with this response. And it's beautiful because it is from Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And here's what it says. With men, it is impossible. Go ahead and say that. With men, it is impossible. But here's the beautiful part. But not with God. For with God, excuse me. Excuse me. For with God, all things are possible. And I want you to say that again. With men, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now I want you to reverse roles, and I want the other person to ask the question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Yes, I hear some no's out there. This is good. And ask it once more. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And now I want that second person to come back, and I want you to say it from your heart, knowing the word of God is true. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Mark 11, 22 through 24. I'm going to end with this. It says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, there's those words. Have faith in God. Let that go home with you today. So important. That's what Jesus tells us. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The next verse says, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Now, the reason I had you do this little practice, I was online a couple weeks ago watching the Landmark Conference, beautiful messages, how all things are possible with God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And while they are having this little application done, is there anything too hard for the Lord? With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Get that mountain in your mind. I'm at home. I'm downstairs by myself. My son's upstairs in his bedroom. And I had a place on my lower leg. It looked really scary. I've had it for well over a year. Kind of looked like it changed a little bit. The color didn't look right. I thought, oh, cancer. This is scary stuff. That came to my mind when I'm listening to this message and I'm quoting these verses. So what do? I put my hand on that spot on my leg and I started praying. I curse you in the name of Jesus. I curse this cancer and I command it to dissolve and to dry up. Right now, I cast you out of my body. I curse disease. In Jesus' name, be gone. You have no place here. And I'm thinking of Mark 11:22-24, when it says, if you'll ask whatsoever you will, believing with no doubt in your heart, it shall be done. My son comes down the stairs. I said, come pray with me. I showed him what we're praying for. My lower leg. I got this spot. We're praying in Jesus' name. And so we are rebuking it and commanding it to leave my body. Do you know, days, I look back down. That thing, it's dried up. It's dissolved. There's like one little tiny hint of where it was. This is the testimony of how God can work. I believe it was a cancer. Now, do I have proof? Did I go have it checked? No. But I cursed cancer at the root and commanded it to leave, and it's gone. The Lord is powerful. So take this home with you. If you have something in your life, maybe not today, maybe next week, maybe tomorrow, that pops up that looks like an impossible task, something you can't resolve on your own, remember, no mountain can stand in the way of our God. The mountain must bow low. Take the promises of God to heart. Let it go through your mind. Dwell on it. Speak it out loud. Declare it. Decree it. That brings victory in our lives. And then give God thanks. When you've asked and you've spoken it, believe that you receive. And give Him the praise for it as if it's already happened and it shall come to pass. I love each of you all. I'm so glad you were here in this class, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Did anybody have any questions related to maybe the message or another question?
Awesome job. Thank you.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. God bless each of you. Go ahead and fellowship, and we'll see you in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock. Goodbye.